So here we are in Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach, as we said last night, is the light of Shvi'i Shel Pesach tonight. That's what I'm going to be learning about. That's what's going to be shining the Shabbos. And we know that the Parsha tells us a fascinating parenthetical point that really we have to understand what its purpose is. And what is it? It's the third pasuk in the Parsha. We're being told about the Jewish people leaving Egypt, how they're traveling out. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, ki hashpeya hashbias b'nei Yisrael lemar pakod yifkod Elohim etchem, v'halisem es atzmosai mizeh etchem. Right? It tells us how they're leaving. And oh, parenthetically, Moshe took the bones of Yosef because Yosef made them swear, remember to bring up my bones when you leave here. And they travel from Sukkos, and then what was that doing there? Right? Rashi's bothered by it. Rashi attempts to address it, and he has lengthy comments exactly what's going on with this. Shout out to Diane Kafkin, has a beautiful pshat on this pasuk in the intro to the bulletin this week in the email. Make sure you take a look at that. Really a beautiful, beautiful pshat. And you know, question is, all the Mefarshim are giving you something, because why? What's going on here? And what's interesting is that this isn't how we refer to taking Yaakov to his burial. I mean, this is the Lashon of Yosef. If you look at the end, the second to last pasuk in Bereishis, Mamish, it's almost verbatim. Vayash by Yosef is b'nei Yisrael le'mor pakod yifkod Elohim eschem v'alisem es atzmosai mizeh, that Hashem's going to remember you and you're going to bring up my bones. But isn't that like a derogatory way to refer to a tzaddik? Yosef saying, bring up my bones. What? It's a little... Right, it is. I was going to say uncouth. Crass is a better term. Thank you. Right? And the issue why it's so surprising is because we don't find anyone else talking that way. When Yosef goes to Paro to tell him after Yaakov dies, Avi hishbiani lemor hine anochi meis bekivri asher karesi li beretz kanan shamatik breini v'ata elena v'ekbras avi v'ashufa. He talks about burying his father. Doesn't talk about bringing up the bones of his father. And when Yaakov talks, so what's going on here? Right? This parenthetical comment that's stuck in. So we know that there are many different pshatim. One pshat is that this is foreshadowing the major event in the parsha. What's the major event in the parsha? It's, of course, Kriyas Yamsuf. And the famous Medrash on Tehillim that discusses this, it's also a Medrash, I believe, in this week's Parsha, Shmos Rabbah. Ma ra hayom vayanos. What did the sea see and then split? It saw the one about whom it says, vayanos achutza, that Yosef HaTzadik ran outside, right? That the bones of Yosef were the mechanism by which the Yamsuf was going to split, because the Yamsuf was saying, Kaviyachal, why should I split? For who? For these people? So we saw the Atzmus Yosef, and then, oh, you have to split. But again, the Atzmus, what Atzmus of Yosef? So everyone talks about this. The Megala Amukos is a beautiful pshat. The Megala Amukos was an early Achron in Krakow, very Kabbalistic. He was Ashkenazi, but he was the one that took a lot of the writings of Arizal and spread it. Rav Nosson Nota Shapira, Zchusigin Aleinu, the Megala Amukos says, it uses this strange, even crass term, Atzmus, because it doesn't mean Atzmus, it doesn't mean bones. It means the Atzmius, the essence of Yosef, is what Moshe Rabbeinu took with him. So what does that mean, the essence of Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu took with him? So what's interesting is that this and it's stuck in here in terms of the traveling, leaving Egypt, it's really foreshadowing a lot of what's going to happen over the next few books of the Torah. And what is that? It's how Moshe Rabbeinu deals with the Jewish people. That's really what's going on here. Moshe takes, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe is Davka, the one that take the Atzmius, the essence of Yosef, with him. And what's the essence of Yosef? So we spoke about this before, right? The essence of Yosef is really unbelievable. What's the essence of Yosef HaTzadik? Right? We know that Mefarshim, we've discussed this before, that Mefarshim say that the essence of Yosef HaTzadik was that Atem Chashavtem Alay Ra, Vakadosh Baruch Hu Vashem Chashva L'Tova. that you thought you were doing, Hashem, it was all good. What you did to me, don't worry, it's all good. Meaning, think about what Yosef went through and how he responds to his brothers. Not to worry about anything. Don't worry. Hashem is the one in charge and it's all for good. And the Megala Muko says that Moshe Rabbeinu's challenge, this is like foreshadowing not just what's happening at the Yam. This is foreshadowing Moshe's whole back and forth with the Jewish people over the 40 years. Very often, Moshe struggles with the fact that the Jewish people are complaining. They're just constantly railing at Moshe. And Moshe, there are times he gets frustrated, but the Torah is here is telling us in Megala Mukos that Moshe Rabbeinu, the lesson that Moshe was taking him with him to know how to deal with the Jewish people is that I have to have the atzmius, the essence of Yosef HaTzadik with me. That you know what, even when people treat you badly, you have to look at the bigger picture. And that's what Yosef was. That was the essence of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's what the Megala Muko says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Because this is what he's going to have to do throughout his time in the desert. And this really highlights something else that we've spoken about before, but it's a pshat that's been on my mind a lot. And we're going to go to Parshas Kisetze. We're going to go into Devarim. We're going to go into Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Ches, page 1054. Why are we going to Kisetze? Like, what's going on? So the truth is, there is a very famous connection between Kisetze and this week's Parsha. We're going to quote it later in the Parsha. And what's that? Amalek. Excellent. Listen to your mother. Shema Bekola, right? She knows a lot, right? So later on, in the part we're going to talk about Amalek. And obviously, the end of Kisetze is Parsha Sachar. The end of this week's Parsha is the laying of Amalek on Purim morning, which Daf Yomi is just learning about now, Mamish, today's Daf, in Megillah. But the idea in Chaf Gimel Ches, if you see, Lo Sisayv Adomi Ki Achicha Hu, Lo sisayv mitri kiger hayisa ba'artso. Do not be tisayved, like to look at and with great disfavor, with distaste at the Adomi, an Edomite, because here is your brother. And also, don't look with great distaste at an Egyptian. Why not? Because you were a stranger in his land. Bonim asher yivoldu lehem dor ha'shlishi yavol lehem b'kahal Hashem. That we know certain nations are never allowed to marry into the Jewish people. The Mitzri, the Adomi, after a third generation, I mean, they can convert at first, but to marry a full Jewess, right? So that has to be after three generations. Can marry a Shifcha, marry a Mamzeres, and Nisina, whatever it is, but they can ultimately make their way into the Jewish people. So Rashi points out in Pasuk Ches, right, lo sisayev mitzri mikol vako. Don't reject, don't find the Egyptians so, you know, horrific entirely. Because af al pi, even though shazarku zuchurechem leyaor, right, even though they threw your male babies into the Nile, they killed them. But ma tam, what's the reason that you can't totally find them abominable and reject them? Shehayu lochem achsani b'shas hadchak. Because ultimately, at a time of need, at a time of great distress, they were your hosts. And therefore, they have the right to join the Jewish people. Now, like, doesn't Rashi make it worse? Rashi is saying, yeah, they threw your babies into the Nile. But really? So Rav Palm says is a deep Torah here. When you really think about it, right? So how many years were they the achsanya for the Jewish people? Let's look at it. From the time Yaakov comes down until Yosef dies is 70 years. The Sheba didn't start for another 20 years later till Levi dies the last. So for 90 years, almost a century, Egypt hosted the Jewish people. We know in terms of the years of slavery, some say it was more, some say it was actually less than that. But it was very harsh, right? I mean, talk about, like, you know, be nice to the Germans because they hosted you. Like, what are you talking about? Really? So Rav Palm says that what's this teaching us? What's this mitzvah teaching us? He says the idea is miut hatov eino batel beribui hara. The little good that someone does for you is not nullified by a lot of bad. And the Gemara in Yevamah Staftam Gimel Amar Aleph tells us that Rabbi Chiya had a very, very difficult relationship with his wife. His wife was constantly, constantly berating him verbally, emotionally, like really not this great relationship. But anytime he went to the marketplace and he saw something that she would like, he bought her it as a gift. So one time, his nephew and main Talmud, Rav, who was one of the greatest of the great, said to him, "Uncle, what are you doing? Every time in your house, she's verbally abusing. Like, really? Really? Like, you're in the market. Oh, she likes this." He says, "She takes care of my children. That's enough for me to buy her all these gifts." So Pam points out, one second, your kids, they weren't her kids, right? No? Weren't they her kids also? They were her kids. It's not like you have a different wife. They were her kids also. So what's going on? And again, why is the Gemara telling us this story? Gemara Stamazai telling us it? Because the Gemara of Pam says is teaching us this lesson. That miut hatov eino batel beribui hara. That a little bit of good isn't lost, isn't nullified by a lot of bad. And I wanted a quote from Rav Pam Sefer, Ala Torah, which is Dar Chinom, which is the way Rav Pam was, just what he says about this. He says, this concept is a cornerstone of interpersonal relationship. If one is the beneficiary of good, the debt of gratitude still exists, even if on a later occasion the benefactor causes discomfort or pain to the beneficiary. The failure to realize this often causes serious breaches in shalom bayis. Sometimes there's friction among family members or business partners, and decades of kindness and friendship are washed away due to a perceived wrongdoing or a thoughtless remark. And then Rav Pam turns the table. He says, we want Hashem to remember the good things we've done and overlook our occasional failures and moments of weakness. How can we have different standards in our interpersonal relationships, right? And then he lays it down very clearly. People that excel in the vital character trait of Hakaras HaTov are invariably happy people. By being grateful for all that they receive, they realize how many good and caring friends they have. On the other hand, people who cannot forget an unintentional snub or a thoughtless retort are perpetually unhappy. Because they feel that they're surrounded only by enemies who are constantly conspiring to harm them by words or deeds. Do you realize how powerful this yisod of Rapam is? This mitzvah. Again, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. One of the 613, Lo Sisayiv Mitzri, Ki Ger Ha'isa Barzo, Bonim Asher Yivaldu. And again, Rashi says, yeah, just because they threw your kid, can you imagine? Just because they threw your babies into the Nile, still, they were Nachsani, B'Shas Adchak. For 90 years, they were a gilded galus. They were a good galus for the Jewish people. They had concentration camps. To us, doesn't it sound so crazy? Doesn't it sound so insane? I mean, the debates in Israel, you know, Mamash became violent at times. In the Israeli Knesset, it was whether to accept German war reparations. Germany, after the war, wanted to pay money to Israel. Menachem Begin led Mamash fights in the Knesset that became violent, not only verbal. He was an orator. He spoke, but you read Israeli history, the Israeli of Medina Yisrael. This was a huge fight in the beginning of the state. We don't want to take money from them, blood money. We don't need it, you know. But here, it's such a crazy idea. And this yisod is related to the Megala Mukos about Yosef, about the Atzmius, the essence of Yosef HaTzadik. They're my brothers. Yeah, they sold me down to Egypt. Yeah, I was. But you know what? I mean, it's a similar type of idea that Rav Pam is saying. And look, obviously, easier said than done. But the example he quotes from the Gemara in Yevamah Samach Gimel, the Rav Chiya's wife was like abusive to him. But yet he would go buy her gifts whenever he could. Oh, she would like this. Because, yeah, and his Talmud, his nephew, who saw what was going on in the house. He was a nephew. He was there. He said, what? And he said, well, she takes care of my kids. I appreciate her so much for that. Again, so this is why And this is why when we talk about the Atzmius of Yosef that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to take with him, this is expressed, this comes up for all of us in a mitzvah much later in the Torah. I would call it a shocking mitzvah. But the lesson Rav Palm says is that this mitzvah is a cornerstone for our interpersonal relationships. Not to throw away relationships of years, of good, because of he says, a thoughtless remark or an unintentional snub. Obviously, Rav Palm saw a lot more than we saw, you know? But he understood it. He understood it. To be a happy person, focus on that miut hatov. Because if you're not able to, he says, then you're going to be perpetually unhappy because any comment you can find wrong, you know what I'm saying? So this is a big avoda. This is a big avoda that I know I try to work on. And I think we all have to work on this. It's a big avoda. And of course, easier said than done. Easier said than done. Moving on, let's see how many more pshatim we get through. There are a couple of other things to talk about. The last one we'll save is an idea on the Shira. But we started late, so we can keep going, right? So there's a real paradox. Two totally different ways, maybe the dichotomy about how the Jewish people approach external enemies, right? Because in Perek Yedalid, Pasuk Yedalid, what happens? Vayomer Moshe Elam. Well, you Pasuk Yedgimel, page 370. They're between the rock and the hard place. They're between the Yamsuf and the Egyptians. Vayomer Moshe Elam, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu Ruas Yeshua Sadunoi Asher Yasal Lachem Hayom. Stand, just stand and see the salvation of God. Ki Asheri Isem Es Mitzrayim Hayom. You see Egypt today. Lo So Sifu Lerosam Oda Alolam. You're never going to see them again like this. Meaning, you're never going to see Egypt again like this and be so petrified. Adonai Yilachem Lachem Vatem Tacharishon. Hashem's going to fight for you. You be silent, right? You be silent. Now let's turn to the end of the parsha. As you said, Sharon, we find the Milchemes Amalek. What does Hashem tell them by Milchemes Amalek? What's the message that Hashem has for them? Page 390. Yedzayin Ches and Tes Vayovo Amalek Vilachem Mishal Birfidim. Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua Bechar Lanu Anashim Vetzei Hilachim Baal Molech Machar Anochi Nitzav Al Rosh HaGiva Matei El Him Biyadi. Right? So one second. In one place, Moshe tells the Jewish people, Hashem Yilachim Lachem Batem Tacharishun. He talks to Hashem, what's going to be, right? But on Amalek, Moshe doesn't ask Hashem. What does he say? Tzei Hilachim Baal Molech. Go and make war. I don't understand. The Jewish people face two enemies militarily in this week's parsha. One of them, Hashem Yilachim Lachem Batem Tachrishon, Hashem's going to fight for them, for you. You shashtil, nothing. The other, Tzei Yilachim Bamalek, go out and fight. Why? What's the difference? So Zok de Lubavitch Rebbe is Chusigin Aleinu, is that these two wars are totally, totally different wars. Why? The war of Amalek, the war of Mitzrayim, what was that war about? That was a war that Paro just wanted to recapture his slaves. Paro wanted to punish his slaves. So this is a war that was a physical danger. I mean, every war is a physical danger, right? But the motivation of the war was Paro expressing his military might and his control of his slaves. So Hashem saying, no. Right? The Jewish people are mine, and you think you have might, Paro? Right? Lo v'chayav lo v'choach kim beruch yamar Hashem. Right? Hema karu v'nafalu v'anachnu kamen misadad. Hashem says, I'm going to fight. Right? Because that was all about the Jewish people recognizing the power of Hashem, because Paro wasn't like he was fighting Hashem. Paro was there to express his physical might and to punish his runaway slaves. So Hashem said, this is on me. But the war with Amalek, when did Amalek come? Notice the two major stories that Amalek is smack in between is Kriyas Yamsuf and Kabbalah Satorah. meaning the whole world heard what happened to Yamsuf. The Jews are on their way to solidify their relationship with Hashem, commitment in the marriage to Hashem, and here comes Amalek. Why? So Chazal see in Amalek's purpose, it wasn't about defeating the Jewish people. Who is Amalek really going to war against? Hashem. Amalek was really going to war against Hashem. Amalek wanted to show the Jewish people and to show the whole world, your God is nothing. We're not afraid of your God. Right? You think you're going to come and just march and take everything? We're not afraid of you. So this, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, this was about attacking the spirit of the Jewish people. This wasn't about physically recapturing his slaves and expressing his might. This was really a war against Hashem. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, when it comes to a war against Hashem, no. A war against your spirituality, you can't wait. You have to do everything that you can right away. Tehilachim, you have to go and fight for your spirituality. This isn't something that you wait for. And of course, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that when we talk about Amalek, you know, a Chabad friend told me that in Chabad yeshivas, when someone's cynical, they say, du bist Amaleki. That's like the biggest insult he could have said. I'm sure your Bubby knew. I've heard people say this, you know. Du bist Amaleki, you're an Amalekite. Huh? Because we know, we've discussed many times before, that there's an Amalek hapnimi. There's an Amalek inside each and every one of us. The Krirus, the end of Kisetzi, Asher Karcha Baderech. Amalek is what tries to get us cold on service of God, not to be excited about davening, not to be excited to say, yeah, it's not really so important. There's a little mitzvah detail. Why do you care? No, you have to fight against it right away. You don't wait, because the more you push these things off, the more you wait on those wars, what happens? The more it gets into the mindset, and the more it affects you, and the more it cools you off and takes you away from serving Hashem. So that's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, yeah, we find two very different responses by the Jewish people, because we're dealing with two very, very different wars. And that's something that we always have to remember. Parnasa, we know we have to go out and we have to do our shtadlos. But, you know, Allah, the Parshas Amon of yesterday, we have to remember that ultimately all that comes from Hashem. But when it comes to our spiritual welfare, we have to recognize that's what we have to control the most. Because HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz, everything is in Hashem's hand, except for your fear of Hashem. Your whole spiritual life depends on your fear of Hashem. V'ata Yisrael Mashem Elokecha Shal Mimach Ki Im Liyira Es Hashem Elokecha. Right in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it all depends on Yiras Hashem. That's the one thing Hashem wants from you, and that's what you control, Yiras Hashem. And so therefore, Amalek that's trying to pull us down spiritually, trying to knock down the Jewish people from this incredible high they were on, that you don't win for it. Right away you have to go to. That's your responsibility to take care of. And so that also, obviously, when we talk about spirituality, we have to understand we're not only talking about Ben Adam La'makum, Ben Adam Chaveru, Ben Adam La'atzma, all aspects of our spirituality. We have to know we can't let it fester. We have to try and attack those things right away. There are a few things to say about the Shira, Kriyas Yamsuf, but we'll just end with one. Because we say we're supposed to say Shiras Hayam every day, right? So let's revisit what Shiras Hayam really is about. We'll take the most fundamental one that the Lubavitcher Rebbe speaks about. And that is, you know, when you look towards the end of the Shira, right? Page 380, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yedzayin, 15:17. Right, what are we talking about here? We're talking about coming into the land, but we're talking about establishing the Beis HaMikdash, right? If you look how the article translates it, this is, you will bring them and implant them on the mount of your heritage, the foundation of your dwelling place that you, Hashem, have made. The sanctuary, my Lord, that your hands have established. We're talking about Binyan Beis HaMikdash, right? I understand when we talk about Natisa Yemincha Tivla Eim Aretz, we talk about We talk about, you know, Hashem, the incredible miracles he did for the Jewish people. We talk about everything that happened to the Egyptians at the Yam. Again, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa, the idea of bringing the Jewish people through maybe to Eretz Yisrael, because we know the Geula and the promise is only really complete when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Right? We always say there are Arba Lashono Shel Geula. Otseisi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Lakachti, but we know there's Veveisi, there's the fifth Lashon also, that Hashem is bringing us in, right? And we know that the promise to the Avos was, of course, about bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. So why are we talking about a Beis HaMikdash, though? That's like far off. Mm-hmm. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't right away. Getting into Eretz Yisrael, they thought they were going to be in Eretz Yisrael in a year or so. A year and a half, they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. To talk about a Beis HaMikdash, first you need a Melech. They knew that that wasn't going to be jik-jak. Aside from the fact that there wasn't even a commandment for Beis HaMikdash yet, what are they talking about? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zuchzikin Milenu, says, what's the Shiras Hayam really about? You know what the Shiras Hayam is really about? And this also fits in with so many things. Why it's Oz Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe, the Jewish people, will sing. Why is it talking about Mashiach? Why is it talking about Tchias HaMesim? Oz, then, the Minyan Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, Oz Yashir Moshe in Israel. Then they'll sing. Lashon Osit, in the future tense. So Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that Shiras Hayam was really a song about Gilui Malchus Hashem and his Shlita, his control over the world. The Shira was about the revelation of Hashem as king and the ruler and the one that controls everything that's going on. That's why we talk in vivid detail how he manipulated which Egyptians went up and down like straw, which one sank like rock, meaning Hashem had total control over each Egyptian, how each one was going to be punished. There was incredible nida keneged nida. Hashem, every detail was taken care of, unbelievably. So if you're talking about the Gilui Kavod Hashem, you're talking about a revelation of Hashem's control and dominance over everything in the world, you know where that was going to be most apparent? Aside from these one-off events, it was going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah Perkei Avos in the fifth Perek, Mishnah Zayin tells us there were 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that he argues, obviously, their number supports that when we talk about Mikdash Hashem Konu Yadecha, we're talking about the Bayis HaShlishi. And we're not even talking about Bayis Rishon. We're talking about the Bayis HaShlishi. Because if you're talking about the Gilui Malchus Hashem, the Gilui Shechina, the real revelation of Hashem, we know when Mashiach comes, it's going to be so evident. It's going to be so clear. The whole world is going to be filled with knowledge of God. Right? The whole world, it's going to be so apparent. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that this is the gabbos of the Shiras Hayam. That this is when Ras HaShifcha Layam, when everyone had this unbelievable revelation, every member, everyone walking through, had this incredible revelation of Hashem's control of everything. This was different than the revelation at Sinai. The revelation at Sinai was a revelation of Elokus in the greatest degree, meaning in the Emunah. This was a revelation of Hashem as the Melech, the one in control of all of nature, right? We know that was beyond nature. That was seeing something that was beyond the Ma'isa Merkava. But this also explains why Shiras Hayam, and again, we've often pointed this out, there are only two parts from the Torah that you're supposed to say every day. Right, we know Akedah, nice if you say the Akedah every day, okay, but what? Shema, the fundamental of our faith. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Shiras Hayam. And the Mishnah Berurah says, granted, it's not a mitzvah of the Araisa to say, it's not, Shema is the Kabbalah's Ol Malcha Shema, I'm accepting the yoke when we cover our eyes, as some explain, because we can't necessarily see that Gili Kvod Shema in this world. We don't see the revelation of Hashem in this world. We see things that don't make sense with Hashem is the master of everything. Hashem is the master of everything. Why? Chasvid, whatever. Al tiftach peh, these crazy things happen. But the idea of saying the Shiras Hayam every day, based on the Rebbe, it's beautiful. Because every day we have to remind Hashem that we have to remind ourselves that Hashem is the Melech and He is Sholeit Bakol. Hashem is the King and He is in control of everything. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says that someone who says it, Besimcha, a person that can say Shira Seyam Besimcha, quoting Kabbalistic sources, Malchun Lam, you get Mechila for all your sins. Because if you could be so Besimcha that Hashem is the Melech, right? This is akin to the Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, of the Kapara that happens on Rosh Hashanah, different than Yom HaKippurim. But this is something, the Chizuk of Emunah, that we're supposed to have when we say Shira Seyam every day. And again, a Jew who can sing it, again, a Jew who's going through difficult times and can sing Shira Seyam, Hashem, I know you're the Melech, Hashem, I know you're in control of everything, and I'm besimcha over it, that's a very high level. That's not stop. That's a very, very high level. And this is why when we talk about Shira Seyam, and again, when you think about it, it's towards the end, Mikdash Hashem Konu Yadecha, it's the very end of the Shira Seyam. Because it's talking about the ultimate revelation at the end of days, according to the Rebbe. It's talking about the Bais HaShlishi that we have to remind ourselves of. So halavai, we should be able to daven, to say the Shir Sayam every day, besimcha. We should understand spiritual threats are things that we have to take very seriously and we have to move towards. And the Atzmas Yosef, the essence of Yosef HaTzadik, that we should take with us. And understand, as Rav Pam says, that the miut tov eino batal beribo yara. Even the little bit of good isn't batal when there's a lot of bad. And certainly, as Rav Pam said, halachas kama v'kama. Unfortunately, most people do it the other way. That the ribui hatov is batal in a miut hara. You know, unfortunately. And that's a question of perspective. That's a question. And he said, people that are able to have the right perspective, they'll be happy people. People who are not, will be perpetually unhappy. Because who doesn't always have someone say something annoying to you, no? Okay, maybe not in your house. Am I right? Right? This sibling you don't like, this, right? Whatever it is. Someone's always going to offend you somehow, no? Right? So as Rav Pam is saying, if that's what you're focusing on, the miyut hara, so then perpetually unhappy. Perpetually unhappy. That's a big avodah. That's a big avodah. Halavai, halavai. Hashem should bless us all. Hashem should bless us all that we could take these words of Rav Pam to heart. Okay, Yishkoyach. Thank you for coming out. Thank you.